A very good morning to you, my dear listener. Very good morning to you, Namibia. Welcome to Eagle FM. And David, thank you for handing over the mic to the big one, to the big mic. So welcome and a very good morning to you. How is your Thursday morning? So wherever you are tuning in, so how is your Tuesday? Not Tuesday, Wednesday morning. I'm taking you back to Tuesday. So how's your Thursday morning? It's good to have you. It's good to have you in our company. In our company. Thanks for joining us this morning. And it's always a great pleasure to be in your company. And thanks for choosing Eagle FM to be in your company at this point in time. So my name is Big Mike Oshaveli. And this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really, really, really going on in terms of business news, economic news, and political news. So every weekday, we cut through the noise, and we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear here, and always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpick what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space. If this is your first time here, this is your space. To unpack the headlines with me and get to the heart of the stories. So, our time, it's 2 minutes, 2 minutes past the hour of 8, and I will be with you until the hour of 10 o'clock. And as usual, we go back into time. We go back into history. We're looking at what happened on this day in Africa. So good morning and good afternoon and good evening, wherever you are tuning in from across the continent and beyond. Welcome to On This Day in Africa. So today we are turning the pages of African history to April the 23rd, a date that is given us I think it's given us some pretty big moment over the years. All right, so let's start with something celebratory, celebratory. And back in 1990, on this very day, Namibia did something huge. It officially became a member of both the United Nations and the Commonwealth of Nations. So this happened just weeks after Namibia had gained its independence. So basically, Namibia wasn't just free. Namibia was now fully recognized as recognized on the world stage as its own sovereign country and sitting at the same table as all other nations. So pretty big. This was a pretty big thing, a big deal for a country that had waited so long for this moment. And fast forward 3 years to 1993, and we got another independence story unfolding. On April 23rd of that year, Eritrea kicked off a historic referendum, a big national vote, where the people had to decide, do we stay part of Ethiopia or do we go it alone? Or do we go alone? Now, keep in mind here that this came after decades of conflict and struggle. So, and when now the vote were counted, the answer was loud and clear. So the people overwhelmingly chose independence. And just like that, Africa welcomed a brand new nation on the continent, on the map. All right. So And April 23rd also commemorates the climax of the Battle of Kwitokwanavale in 1988 during the Angolan Civil War. This battle was fought between the Angolan Armed Forces, FAPLA, supported by the Cuban troops, and the Southern African Defense Force, SADF. Now, it ended in a strategic victory for the Angolan and Cuban forces, with also the SWAPO plan, which was a turning point that contributed to the eventual end of apartheid in Southern Africa, and also paved the way for Namibian independence. So this day is recognized as a holiday by the African Union. And UNESCO established April the 23rd as a World Book and Copyright Day in 1995 to promote reading, publishing, and also copyright. So this day in Africa, this day is celebrated to emphasize literacy and cultural preservation. So often accompanied by events highlighting the role of African literature in a global culture. And also today also is observed on the 23rd. What also observed on the 23rd is this day celebrate African cinema as a vital cultural expression. It highlights the creativity and the storytelling of African filmmakers, you know, showing diverse African narratives worldwide. Yeah, basically, so there you have it. Thanks for tuning in on this day in Africa. Well, join us again. Join us next time as we flip the calendar and discover more stories from our incredible, incredible continent. And very good morning. And if you're just joining us, good morning and welcome. So today is the 23rd of April. So what is our thought for the day on unpacking the day? So now today's thought for the day, it's a quite simple. It's very simple. Beautiful word, don't put porridge in the pot. So beautiful word, don't put porridge in the pot. Ano o hapu? Popimo indonga do no oha pontoe. Eh? I te moshkwanyamanga e hab dinye. Ya ditrosifi mamombia, mati. E hab dinye yadi, e hab dua yadi trosifi mamombia. Ya, sasha tribondonga to stronga moindonga. Kucha oha pu on oha pombanawa. Kaduda oshike, kadudo shimbombo, mombiga. Kadodo imbombo, mombiga, ningangu tuange piano. So, all right. So that's the proverb. This proverb reminds us that life need action. You know, it is easy to say. For example, it's easy to say I care, I will help, or I will change. You know, but what matters is what we actually do. It's what we do. Result come from effort, you know, from hard work, not from, you know, fine speeches. So today, let us not only speak well, let us act well. Let our word be backed by effort, honesty, and results. So because at the end of the day, it is not sweet word, talk, it's not a sweet talk, you know, that carries us through. It is what we actually do. All right? So it's not our sweet talk that carries us through. It is actually what we do. So that's our thought for the day. And hopefully that guide what we do today. All right. So what's our time? 10 minutes. 10 minutes past the hour of 8. 10 minutes past the hour of 8. So what do we have? What are we looking at this morning? Yesterday, there was a story that we were looking at, but we didn't really get into it properly. I would like to do that. It's looking at that there's a global race for nuclear energy, and it's that race is increasing. It's increasingly, you know, defined. Okay. It's being defined by a geopolitical map where now selected few nations and corporation control the world concentrated to uranium supply, and turning now the resources ownership into a potent tool of international influence. So that's what we're going to look into. And then that leads to another area that I want us to look at. The China and Namibia are deepening their economic ties through a new cooperation agreement aimed at transforming Namibia's raw material or raw natural resources into a higher value processed product like nuclear fuel. So, and that has been agreed when our foreign minister was in China last week. So we're going to look at that. We're going to link those stories together and see, you know, where are we in terms of, we're going to talk about uranium. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. So make sure that we, you know, make sure that we unpack this together. So your participation, of course, will also be part of the show. I would expect you to be part of the show. So good morning and welcome.
Omutiha kutekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafa sana nana longe shifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seisa nina omayaguro ni randito mwa yoe. Yonge shifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi paregi uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengera selma, konoraje tatu imwe. Datu ndatu, heari jamano tano, oniaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
A very good morning to you. A very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. So slowly by slowly, we start to see winter is starting to emerge. Slowly but slowly in the morning it's getting cold. Hopefully in other part of the country it's much, much, much colder than here. So, but here once around 10, 11, you are absolutely burning already. So, but in the morning it's a very cool weather. So we come back after this.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
All right, I'm going to choose UNAM because I want to see me in UNAM being me. All right, does that make sense? Well, it sounds like it makes sense. A very good morning. Welcome, welcome. Welcome back. Yeah, yesterday we were looking at that the world is panically raised for a nuclear energy. So everyone wants a green power. But the problem is that the entire world's supply of uranium is locked up in just a few hands. And guess who are those few hands? Of course, only three countries: Kazakhstan, Canada, and of course our very own Namibia. We control, those three countries control nearly three quarter of the world uranium productions. Yeah, and to make it more intense, only 10 companies, you know, control over 90% of this uranium output. 10 companies, you know. So just think about that now. So a handful of nations and about 10 corporations. So this can easily, then can essentially decide, you know, who can actually decide now, hey, who gonna get, who's going to light up their cities? They can decide that. Say, who is actually going to light up their cities with nuclear power? Or who doesn't? Okay? So it depends on this, actually, these three countries. Of course, there are other countries that that also produce uranium. But we're talking about, you know, the three countries that actually control nearly three quarter, you know, of the world's uranium production. But then the questions maybe that we're talking about now, that control, when we're talking about control, so do we as Namibia, we put ourselves in there, that Namibia is one of the countries that produce, you know, the third country that produced uranium. So, but is Namibia one of the countries really playing the game that actually control? Do we control? But the word control, are we the one, are we in control? Is Namibia one of the country playing the game? Or are we just holding a bag while others are playing the game? Who controls the uranium that powers the world? Maybe that's a question. Who does that? Maybe that's what we need to look at. Who controls the uranium that powers the world? So, yeah, if we look at that a little bit, you know, if we look at that, so according to the fresh data from the World Nuclear Association, as I said, just three countries on this entire planet control nearly a quarter of all uranium production. Now, there is a fascinating recent analysis looking at the global uranium map. You know, it paints a picture that Namibia, you know, and also it's the picture that I wish every Namibian actually needs to understand, okay? Because we definitely are part of this, you know, up. We are on this map, okay? Now, government and massive corporation are waking up. You know, they are waking up to a tough reality. A tough reality. They want nuclear power. They want zero carbon energy. And but the big dream, really, this big dream that this country or this country want, rely entirely on international politics. You know, it's not just okay business between the country. It's honestly rely on international politics, not just simply economics. Why? Because the global uranium supply, as I said, is basically a monopoly held by a very exclusive club. So if you look at the number of this country, when we look at the global uranium production, just three nations, as we said, Kazakhstan, Canada, and our own, and the Namibia. Yeah. So that actually, as we said, it's controlled nearly, you know, three quarters of the entire supply. That is 75% of the global output, you know, coming from three places. So, and the report also highlight that as I said earlier, to also highlight that only 10 corporate giants control over 90% of global uranium production. So 10 companies dictate the flow of the most powerful energy source on the planet, you know. And this level of control means these few players practically hold a veto. They hold a veto power over which country get to develop a nuclear energy, or even worse, who get to build the nuclear weapons. So now, the expert, you know, they put on, the expert actually kept profitability of uranium mining at around $130 per kilogram. And under that ceiling now, the world only has about, you know, 5.9 million tons of economically viable, you know, uranium left, I think left on the ground. Now, having these reserves, so that's another, it's actually, you know, having this reserve and actually digging it out or digging it up. These are two different things. You know, for example, Australia sits on a biggest gold mine, holding actually 28% of the world known reserves. 28%. But they are not the number one producers of uranium. They are the fourth largest producer. So, and where does Namibia actually stand? When you look at Namibia, we are sitting on the fourth largest reserve globally in terms of deposit, in terms of the reserves. We are fourth, and we hold actually 8% of the world's viable uranium. So that's nearly 498,000 tons of a yellow cake under our, you know, under our ground. So, but when it comes now to getting it out of the ground, we are so quick to do that. So we are so quick to do that, and we are number three in the world. So, and based on the 2024 figures, Kazakhstan is the undisputed king, pumping out over 23,000 tons, and Canada follows with over 14,000 tons, and Namibia stands proud at number three, producing over 7,300 tons last year. So, but actually for us Namibian, the one thing that should be worrying us, one thing that we should be worried about is that having a reserve in the ground, as I said earlier on, is one thing, you know, but actually pulling that uranium out and processing it and selling it to the world, that is completely a different game altogether. Now, and this is where now the story, you know, get a bit uncomfortable for us, especially for us, for some of us who care about our resources. For some of you who actually care about your own resources and your African sovereignty, you know. If the production is concentrated in just 10 countries, for example, and Namibia is providing, you know, the ground. Are we seeing that reflected? Are we seeing this reflected? Is this being translated into a tangible result, or being reinvested in our social services, like maybe in schools, in clinics, or things like that? We have issues. We have pressing issues that our country need to address. Are we seeing that, given that we produce this much, are we seeing this money, this either royalties or tax revenues, are we seeing them being reinvested in our schools, in our clinics, in our roads, things like that? Or is our uranium just a tool for international influence for someone else, foreign policy like China? So the report claims that resource ownership is becoming, you know, as I said, someone actually thought that, like, that could be an international influence for someone else rather than ourselves. So we could actually use that as a, how does it, as a leveraging, you know, we can, as a leveraging power, if you, someone can say that. So the report claims that now resource ownership now, whoever owns that, is becoming a weapon. If Kazakhstan, Namibia, and Canada decided now tomorrow to stop shipping, what happened to the world? Well, it stands still. It remains stand still. You know, it's in some cities will go dark. You understand? Really, some cities will go dark. So, but the question is, does Namibia? So as, and yesterday I was asking this, that do we actually realize the power that we have? Do we realize the veto power that we have? Or we too, sometimes we're just too busy. And when you're looking at it, and this I'm going to, the other things when you listen to our leaders, you know, we speak in a way that is, we are, you know, of course we are being grateful for the investment. We're not talking as on a level of partnership, but we kind of like, oh, thank God, thank you. And we don't realize that, you know, we are the one holding the world battery. I think we don't realize that we are the most powerful, one of the most powerful, you know, country in terms of this in the world. Imagine if you're third in terms of, you know, productions of this, and you're not leveraging that. So we, as I said, sometimes we're just being grateful. Okay, thank you. Without realizing that we are the one holding actually the power. And yesterday I was asking, what now, given that we produced it, do you feel, as a citizen, do you feel, you know, are you a citizen of nuclear superpower? Do you feel that you're a citizen of a nuclear superpower country? Why not? Why shouldn't we have to feel that way? Because, well, it's not processed here. It's not, you know, we're just shipping it out. Because definitely on paper, when you look on paper, we are. On paper, that's what we are. We are a nuclear superpower on paper. So if the three countries control the market, shouldn't we be dictating the terms? We should be actually dictating the terms. Why is it that 10 foreign, you know, corporations hold now the real power over resources dug from our own soil? And sometimes these are the things that are misleading. At some time, economic growth and the land, economic landscape. No, I don't want to say landscape. Economic, the way how, you know, economy is being, you know, being reported in a country, for example, it's misleading. Sometimes it's misleading when you are told you are the, which is true. It's not that it's not it's a lie. We are the third producing country of uranium, but what does it do in our country? And this is exactly what we're talking about. You have this corporation, that foreign corporation, that actually hold the power, the real power, over resources that are actually dug in our own country. So interrogate. We're looking at that after this.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back, and a very good morning to you. Welcome, thanks for joining us. All right, thanks for joining, and you just made the right choice being here. So we talked about one of your powerful resources that you have, which maybe we don't even realize how powerful it is. Well, we do, but maybe we just can't do anything, isn't it? So now, when we're talking about this, I was talking about that you have actually corporation, the foreign corporation holding the real power over our resources that are actually dug from our own ground. And are we leveraging our uranium, you know, to build? So from us, we're not even leveraging it to build international influence. Do you understand? So we are not. So what happened is that there are just holes left in our Erongo region, you know, while actually this corporation or country like China, they are building empires, you know, from these resources. So when we're going to look into the second article, we're looking at how, because almost, or how much actually, not Russia, how much actually China control our uranium mining. So no wonder why sometimes, you know, when we talk, even in talk, when we're talking about partnership, we're kind of like begging. We're not in the position to say, well, this is what we want if you don't do that. Yes, we did a ban. We're going to talk about the ban. We ban, you know, we're no longer going to, you know, to export raw of lithium and other critical minerals. But then what leverage do you have? You know, but what power do you have? Because if you say, well, that's not going to happen. You can only do that when you have alternatives. Let's say, for example, okay, we're not going to export our raw material anymore. And you say, well, we're going to do it ourselves. But if you say something like that and you have no alternatives, then what? Then what? So, and just like a scent, you don't have equipment now to, you know, to, how would I say it? You know, I don't even know what the language I can use to, you know. So they will say, okay, there you have it. What are you going to do with that? There's nothing that you can do. That's why you are in that position of just, you know, what they say you do. What they give you receive. Now, sometimes then, when you look at that, so, is do you think, oh, how would I put it? Is our uranium a blessing or just another resource leaving our shores while we watch? This is our resources, looking at it. Is it a really blessing for our country? Are you proudly said we are uranium producers? Is it a blessing? Do you think that this is really, you know, given now? Now think of other pressing issues in this country: unemployment, poverty. So think of those issues, and then would you say this resource is a blessing, or is just something that is just a resource leaving our country, leaving our shores, and we're just watching. We're absolutely just watching. Now, of course, yes, uranium royalties and tax contribute to, contribute meaningfully to our national budget. It does contribute meaningfully to our national budget. The Hassop mine alone is one of the largest open pit uranium mine on the planet. So here's what I need you to think about. Who actually benefited from Namibia's uranium? Yes, we collect royalties. Yes, our people get jobs. And imagine this is capital intensive, you know. And yes, we get jobs. Yes, there is community development around maybe mining areas, but the bulk of the profit, okay, the bulk of the flow, the profit flow to the companies that own and operate these mines. Much of wealth actually flow to these companies. Now, the question is always, is that right? Is that right? So companies that are, in many cases, their headquarters are not here. The headquarters are in Beijing, in Paris, in Toronto, you know? So our uranium feed reactors in China. You know, we're just feeding the reactors in China, in the United States, in Europe, in South Korea. This is what our uranium is actually feeding, you know? It's feeding those reactors. It powers their economies, their industries, their data centers. And you know what? The sad part is that large part of our own country, still do not have a reliable electricity. I don't know how realistic, how do you see that as an individual, as a Namibian? And especially if you're lawmaking, if you're a lawmaker listening right now. So our uranium feed reactor is in those countries. As I said, yes, we get royalties, we collect, you know, there are little jobs there, but, you know, are we getting a fair share of our resources? So, yeah, so we are powering the world while some of our own community are in the dark. That's an irony, you know, where, you know, we just cooking for others and we aren't eat what we are cooking. Now, of course, I'm not saying mining is bad. I'm not saying foreign investment is a problem. No, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying we need to have an honest conversation about value. Okay? Are we getting a full value of our uranium? That's the question that we should be asking. Wherever you see a leader, you know, ask them, are we getting a full value of our uranium? Are we negotiating from a position of strength or weakness? And as far as you listen to, you know, when we speak as if we are begging. So now, think of this. How long this corporation has been mining uranium in Namibia? Are we building? Now, the question is, and honestly, are we building our own nuclear knowledge? The mining of uranium has been for years. We're talking about many years. We didn't start in mining after independence, and that's already 30 years. We have been mining maybe how many? I don't want to mention a wrong year, but it could be 50, 60, 70 years or something like that. Now, the question is, are we building our own nuclear knowledge? Are we building our own expertise, our own processing capacity? For all these years, are we just shipping? We haven't. We honestly haven't. You as a citizen of this country, or are you content to remain a raw material exporter? Are you content with that? This just to remain, we remain the raw material exporter while other countries, you know, while other countries actually turn our resources into value, into a higher value product, and actually uses as a geopolitical leverage. Are you content with that? Well, some of us are not. We are not. I'm not. I'm not content with that. But here's The truth is that the country that control uranium enrichment, as we know, country that control uranium enrichment, uranium conversion, you know, and nuclear fuel fabrication, are the one that hold the real power. These are the country that really hold the real power. So Namibian mines, we mine the raw material, but we do not enrich it. We don't enrich it. We do not convert it. We do not fabricate fuel from it. So that value chain is dominated by nations like France, Russia, China, the United States. We are at the bottom of that chain. We are at the bottom of that chain. And we are the third producing country. We are at the bottom of that chain. And the gap between the bottom and the top is where billions of dollars are captured by other nations at our expense. That's actually at our expense. And can you still, you know, and sometimes when we talk, but it's kind of like anybody can laugh at you, said, well, but what do you do with that? What do you do with that? There's nothing. It's not your own. Actually, you know, you can say to no uranium, to no shiket, to not. But it's not yours. We wanted to cut the late Dr. Hage Geingob's head. We wanted to cut his head off when he said, well, the oil is not ours, or whatever, what was he saying? It's not ours. We wanted to cut his head off. But he was just stating the fact. Now, there's a story of Niger. Okay? There's a story of Niger. Actually, Niger should be a warning for us. And it's a good example. Okay? And I want us to look at North now. We want us to look at our own example in Africa. Niger, our neighbor on the continent. Okay? Now, Niger is the sixth largest holder of uranium reserve in the world. You know, with about 336,000 tons. Now, for many years, for decades, Niger supplied uranium to France, feeding French nuclear reactor, you know, just like we're feeding China, you know, feeding nuclear reactor that powered now the French homes, French factories, you know, French economy. What did Niger get in return? What did they get in return? Despite being one of the world's top uranium exporters, Niger consistently ranked among the poorest countries on the Human Development Index. We're talking about, you know, one of the countries that actually ranked, you know, sixth largest holder of uranium reserves. And is one of the poorest country on the Human Development Index. So, its people, Niger's people, lack access to clean water, electricity, healthcare, education. So the wealth from uranium did not actually trickle down. It flowed out. The wealth just flowed out. Like in our case, you know, like in our case, the wealth didn't trickle down. So that's why there are pressing issues in the country. One of, as I said, is one of the poorest country on the Human, you know, Development Index. So in 2023, a military coup in Niger, you remember there was a coup, you know, in Niger, brought this injustice into a shape focus now. You know, it's really changed the focus. Now, the new leadership canceled or renegotiated uranium contract with France. Orano, the French nuclear giant, was effectively locked out. Niger started actually looking east toward China and other partner willing actually to offer better terms. Okay, now they're looking. Remember, this is now, this was a coup. This is a new, they tear up. They just tear up what was agreement that were never, they don't care about what was the agreement was there. So, the previous government have, this is, they just come and said, look, hey, let's renegotiate this. If you're not going to offer us a better offer, we have others who are actually interested. Remember what I talked about, that this, you hold power when you have this, you know, you hold power. Even for bigger country, bigger powerhouse country like, you know, France and others. Yeah. So, now, the geopolitical, you know, shockwave was felt actually across the continent and beyond. France lost a critical supply source. Europe nuclear energy calculations had to be redrawn overnight because of that. Now, I'm not here to judge what happened in Niger. That is for, how do you call the Niger people? The Nigerian? Eh? So what do you call the Niger? The Nigerian. Yeah, maybe Nigerian people. So then it's not the Nigerian, but the Nigerian, you know, Nigerian. Maybe that's the difference. Yeah. So, of course, as I said, that's for them to decide. But I'm here to say this. The Niger story is a cautionary tale for every African country or for every African nation sitting on a strategic resources. It is a cautionary tale. So it reminds us that, you know, having the resources is not enough. It's not enough. The contract you sign, the partner you choose, the domestic capacity you build to determine whether your resources becomes, you know, this is what really determines whether your resources become a blessing or a curse. In Namibia, we need to pay close attention. We really need to pay a close attention. Definitely that would determine whether your resources become a blessing or a curse. And as we see in Niger, and also we see that in other countries, could become a case. Very simple. Yeah. Now, so at this point in time, the world is experiencing what many are calling a nuclear, nuclear renaissance. Okay? As of early 2026, there are approximately 440 nuclear reactors operating across more than 30 countries. Okay, that's a renaissance, providing about 10% of the world electricity. 10% of the world electricity. So, but that number is according to study, is set actually to grow significantly. At least 60 reactors are under construction globally, with another 300 plus in various stages of planning. Now, China alone, and we are actually feeding that. China alone is building more than 20 reactors. Turkey, Bangladesh, in Africa we have Egypt, and several other nations are entering the nuclear club for the first time. So, where are we? Where are we? And we are the third producers in the world. Where are we? And on top of that, the technology sector is driving the new demand. Yeah? It's also driving a new demand. Companies like Microsoft, Amazon, Google have committed billions and billions of dollars to nuclear-powered data centers. Nuclear-powered data centers. Are we talking about artificially intelligent, requiring enormous amount of electricity? Yeah? Tech leaders see nuclear as the only reliable carbon-free source that can meet the demand at a very scale. So you see, This means uranium demand is projected to increase substantially, you know, over the next decade and beyond. And where are we? You know? So, and what does this rising demand mean for supply? Demand and supply. It means country and companies that control uranium production, that are controlling that today, will see their geopolitical influence grow. They will see their geopolitical influence grow. But remember what I asked at the beginning. Are we in control, or are we just, you know, holding the back, and are there are those who are in control? We are not in control. So the other thing is also mean that there is the competition for uranium partnership will intensify. It will definitely intensify. Nation like Namibia will face increasingly, you know, pressure, both friendly and non-friendly, you know, to sign deal, open minds, and commit supply to foreign interest. All right, let's get to a caller. So I'll see what he has to say. We missed you. Good morning. Oh, I thought we missed you. Good morning.
Hey, that Mike.
Good morning, man.
How are you, that the big Mike?
Well, wati o shika no ndare shane no taiting imp, you know, enjo diva ya dia de kombia.
Yeah, ya dito la mombia. Nengo ya. Oh, which is that weather good for Namibia.
Exactly.
Tashi. Sha tu po tseke. Kutegemo after independence hatu popse iki hatu popini miwa.
Yombi te ya dane.
Yopeme. Yopeme hatu popseki ni miwa mala no verimo pola janta asiko manyutu moko babsa mu.
Yeah, it's
true. Hatu popseki ni miwa.
That's true. That's very true.
Yeah.
And remember sometime incidents like that are not reported. There are some people who, you know, children that are dying on malnutrition that are not actually reported. You know,
yeah
and exactly. It's a situation could be worse than that, you know, than what is being reported. You must always know that what has been reported, especially in Namibia, you know, there are a lot of maybe double that because cases are not reported that are happening, that happen at home, you know.
Serious.
Yeah.
The side of the story, they also say it's a gray area.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like that. Mm. It's always like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oof. You know the thing, I was thinking and I went to check.
Yeah.
To do my own research.
Yeah.
My friend, you know that our losing, it's come a long way, maybe about like almost 50 something.
Yeah. That's coming a long way. Yeah.
And it was owned by Rio Tinto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Canadian.
Yeah.
And the Chinese, somewhere around the middle of I think the second term for the president of first term, no? Your resources.
Yeah.
Your own resources. Over top of you, no PhD degree. Over top of you, auditor English. Guys, sometimes I'm looking at our return and you just start laughing. Get a Colombo again. What a good job. Tap of people, Shikinana. Just more reality doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Molo, would you bring out the speech and the money? Never him. Don't handle it with a no man. What is a waste of time?
I was listening to you, and I'm going to speak up the next thing in the next part that I have. I was listening to the foreign minister. When she was in China now, and talking about most of this kind of like, there's a new agreement. And then when she had a one-on-one interview with I don't know what is the agency, and then she was asked, you know, this zero tariff, what advantage would give it to Namibia? And I was so disappointed to say. You know, she's just being generic, you know. It will allow us to industrialize and what, and I said, my good Lord.
That's how I educated people.
Now, instead of looking at, and then you can, so now you get concerned because you really think, do we have anything that we can actually bring to China? You know, you can now look at the challenge. You can now look at the challenge. Why our business were not entering in China? What business? Let's maybe say we have meat, we have fish, we have whatever. So they were, because of that tariff, we couldn't actually use this market, you know. And now, if it becomes zero, we will be able to be competitive in China, in Chinese market, you know.
And if you look at this zero tariff, it's Chinese. There is so much, they will ship more for Namibian material.
Yeah.
Because remember the other time when you were having a conversation, or even like a, no, guys, if you look at the way the Chinese are helping Namibia with the road, it's for them to make sure that they will be able to transport their goods to the harbor. And they already, upgrade the harbor.
Exactly.
So the big ship can come in.
There is an article. The article that I follow, it said, okay, China actually have a better approach because he's building infrastructure. And I said, and I look at that, I said, when you look at the infrastructure they built, it's actually to soothen their, you know, their operations. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. If they build a road around Uis, you know, to Wavish Bay, that's for them, so that they can transport things from Uis to Wavish Bay.
Easily,
you know? If they upgraded the port, it's because they want their big ship to be able to dock there. And but then we look at that and said, no, they are better.
That's the friend you have. Come on.
And also, you're looking at that, and look. If I'm taking a stake of 90%, and what does building you a road for me? What does it that cost me?
There's more percent that even in my what in my share which I have to show, and to come in season with
That's a change for me.
Without more, to come with a loan.
It's a change.
You have to pay back, and then again on top of that, I will give it to go to my people.
It's a change for me, you know?
Yeah. Guys, serious man. But serious we are speaking. And now when I was checking also, I found out that they are Russian, they are interested.
Yeah.
In uranium also in Namibia.
Hmm.
And for them, they put a stake that no, once we are there, we are able to build you Namibia. A plantation, which our politicians are denying.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, they are denying it. And they are quiet about it.
Yeah.
But the things are there. They're available. If you go to Google and then you say, no, what about in Russian and Namibian uranium?
Yeah.
To pop up.
Yeah.
Yeah. They want to come in, but because of what? Interference of politicians now come out, they will damage the groundwater, all those nonsense.
Yeah.
Which we have.
Yeah.
You know, we are more one-sided.
Yeah.
When the other people are doing it, it's like there's no problem. There's no problem with the Chinese to ship for the whole 2 years without even ministry clearance.
Yeah, without a license.
without a license,
you see.
Hey. Mm. And now, Russians, they want to come in, but now we are having a lot of, they will damage our groundwater, all those. Mm. But remember one thing, once we have...
It's monopoly, you know.
Yeah. It's a geopolitics.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have to consider if these are going to help the majority.
Yeah.
Let it be.
Mm.
Even though we know that, yes, there are some way we have to go through like around so we can clearing the what? Damage the water and the ground.
Yeah.
Because if you look, my friend, what we do in Namibia is that one person individually is more important than the rest of the country.
Mm. Yeah.
The rest of the people in the country.
Mm.
Because now, look, when you are talking about even like if we get plantation, nuclear plantation, My friend, I think the whole subject will get power it up. And that means more income to Namibia. Yeah. Less payment for our electricity, like the way we are paying now. And if you look around that, my friend, a lot getting into a lot of different, there are some that are putting solar panels, some that are putting wind power, biomass. You take it, there are so many, I think there are nine components for you to produce electricity. But how far is that with non-power?
No, the how other far? Thing, the other thing, yeah, I mean, that's not when the I only thing, there, but you're also looking at, so we're talking about green hydrogen, we're talking about, you know, renewables and things like that. And now, power, I mean, nuclear power, for example. And we are entering, you know, this power sharing to buy power from Angola. What does that mean, you know, in terms of other priority that you actually put forth? It looks like you are in chaos. There isn't really a proper planning.
We don't have.
Yeah, so
that's how it looks. I was checking.
So
I was checking one company.
Yeah.
What they call Neo something, Neo what, which are putting a power plant somewhere in Rudridge.
Yeah.
This is ghost town somewhere there. There are wind powers.
Mm.
But I'm wondering now. Oh.
Yeah. Huh? Some of these are on the level. Some of these are on the level of you know, when you are mining there. You know, you put up something that actually help you to reduce,
to
reduce your electricity consumptions. Yeah, it's not like
Nampo is supposed to scold off that because once a man is coming in there, Nampo is supposed to make sure that yes, they are going to put a wind turbine, they are going to put a solar panel, so they can charge you more. Yeah. They are not even supposed to allow it. Now, last time I heard that, you know, they are even he called private distributor to come on board. But that's why even the president was talking about the word in the Costa Camano, people need to create a SOS for government. Then we look like, we look at the number. How many people they recruit even here?
Mm.
Even 500, they cannot do that. Eh? You look at their CEO, the salary which is getting.
Yeah.
That's why I'm so happy that Master Sangwasa started considering the CEO to be somewhere not to the way they are getting that salary. And the serious is, it's very concerned.
Yeah.
You cannot have a number, not you can recruit a yearly base, 500 people. You talk about even, but their services needed, they're countrywide.
Mm.
And you look at the NAMWATA, it's the same. Their services are needed countrywide, but they cannot recruit. And you look at the salary which the CEO are getting, those people who are in, the money which they are getting.
Yeah.
But it's very useless, really. They are not contributing it to anything.
Yeah, you don't see
that. And the next time you heard, they never get a bailout because they are charging more people. That's why you find out, like a municipality, someone putting in water, more than some millions. But because their service are expensive.
Yeah,
more you are, I think, you are locating, more, the more you are even having a lot of hole around. They are like let me give you a NAMWATA and NAMWATA, they are not supposed even to allow a city of wind to have their own borehole. What they are supposed to do, they are supposed to in charge, locating like a brewery. Mm. They are having their borehole for NAMWATA at least. And they also Coca-Cola, because these are people who are using more water.
Yeah.
But NAMWATA is somewhere allowing all those private to come in.
Yeah, that's another issue when we talk about factories. Factories requires a lot of electricity, require a lot of water. And having no reliable electricity supply, and also water security, definitely, you know, you can't have factories without those.
Okay, anyway, let me give you a double chance.
All right, man, thanks for coming through.
All right, man.
Mm.
08333 66091. You know, we're coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio. So, yeah, dial to the north, dial this side, this direction, if you want to have, if you want to speak to us, if you want to have your contribution and your reaction to our discussion, our conversation this morning. All right, as I was saying that the Iranian demand is projected actually to increase sustainably, you know, over the next decade and beyond. And when, you know, of course, then when the demand, you know, arise, so what that means for supply? So it means countries, as I said earlier, countries and companies that that control uranium production today, they will see their, of course, their geopolitical influence also grow. And it means also the competition for uranium partnership, I think, will intensify. And it means nation like Namibia will face increasingly pressure. We would definitely face increasingly pressure. And that pressure is not really a pressure for us as a country, but for the owners, those who own the mines, you know. So, yeah, and the pressure, as I said, when that competition increases, though, there will be a pressure of signing deals, of opening mines, of, you know, of committing to supply to foreign interest. So, yeah, that's basically it. So now the question is whether we will enter those, you know, when you think about that, whether we enter those negotiations with a clear national strategy, eh? So with real skilled negotiators, and think that's what we need, skilled negotiator with legal framework that protect our long-term interests, you know. So we need to start to do that. And of course we see some of that, but maybe to what extent, eh? Or the other question is whether we repeat the mistakes that have trapped other resource-rich African countries or African nation in a cycle of extraction and poverty. Eh? So, yeah, as we have seen, Namibia is the third largest uranium producer on Earth, talking on Earth, planet Earth. And we hold 8% of the world economically viable reserves. So, yeah, our uranium is powering reactors on every continent. It's our uranium that is actually doing that. But we are here. But we are at the bottom of that value chain. Eh? Understand that. Really understand that our uranium is powering reactors on every continent. But where are we? We are at the bottom of that value chain. We dig it, we sell it raw, and others capture the real wealth downstream. You know? So, and as the world races towards a nuclear energy, the demand of our uranium will actually grow, will only grow. Now, the leverage we hold today will only increase if we hold the leverage anyway. So the question is not whether Namibia matters in the global uranium game. We absolutely do. Definitely we do. So the question is whether we will use that importance wisely. Hmm? Can we use that importance wisely? Will we demand fair value? That's the thing. Will we demand a fair value? Will we invest in our nuclear expertise? Will we learn from Niger's experience? Will we negotiate as equal, not as, as a supplicant? Eh? Or will we allow history to repeat itself? You know, where Africa's wealth enriches everyone else, it enriches everyone except Africans. That has been always the case with our minerals. It enriches others except Africans. Yeah? And this question deserve, you know, they deserve answers. Yeah? They deserve answers. Well, not only from our leaders, but also from every one of us, okay? From where every one of us, okay?
Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning.
Good morning, man. How are you?
Good.
Mm.
Rio Tinto, Rio Tinto.
Yeah.
No, guys, man. First of all, what? Let's start from Niger, for example.
Yeah.
So the Niger government.
Mm. So, the new government, or the old, yeah. You know, before the
new,
coup.
The new government, before the coup. Let's talk about the coup first.
Yeah.
Yeah. For you to understand the coup, say, advice into France is that they negotiate better, because this thing, it was a term of the colonial power transaction.
Yeah.
It was not something that you can say it come out of the power of the money.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing that was happening with the Walvis Bay Harbor.
Mm.
So Walvis Bay Harbor Rossing, Walvis Bay and Nandeb.
Yeah.
They were owned by the state. The South African administration or Southwest administration, but under South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So when we got independent, we try to get in, those things must be for the state, right? Like the 50% of Nandeb.
Yeah. Mm.
We got it for good, the past science, and we got our 50%.
Mm.
And we keep the
Why we never okay, was it the only when you're looking at other mining, you know, contract, probably have done, were actually done before independence, was this the only, you know, contract that we're able to do 50-50, or what was actually, why was that actually different and we never actually follow suit with others?
No, the Rio Tinto uranium discovery was doing by private, not by state.
Yeah.
So they are applying for the exploring, the EPL, and then they got it, they do that, so they're funding on their own. So it's not a state. Even the that is there. It's not for the state. It was for the company. So that one, the South African government were not having any say to that one.
Mm.
So it's hard for us. If you could say we are chasing them away, we could be owning them.
Yeah, but there was a South African company.
Owing them.
There was a South African company that actually owned 30% share of that. Yeah, I think so.
Yes. Yeah. No. Those one they came in. It's the same with them. The one that was on Nandeb.
Yeah.
Japanese, they were also benefited because Japanese was subcontracted with their machine of detecting the diamond.
Mm. Mm.
So those one, yeah. It's the same with the Rio Tinto. Even Iran, I didn't come yesterday.
Mm.
So they came long back.
Yeah.
So they invested in the mine. They got their percentage.
Yeah, yeah.
So it is not comparing to the Walvis Bay Harbor. Because remember, Walvis Bay Harbor was discovered by those Vasco da Gama, Bartolomeu Dias. So them, they putting that infrastructure for the timbers and what.
Yeah.
But when South Africa took over from Germany, so they extended it and putting on the standard. It's where they started climbing. But when you know, the best negotiators, late Hage, they come in 1994, may rest in peace. So they come in 1994. They discussing that, let's talking about here, or the infrastructure, who has funded that?
Yeah.
I, South Africa, with the money that they got from Namibia, right?
Mm.
Yes. So it means it's not yours.
Yeah.
Because the loyalty that we're getting from the Rossing, you are funded it, you are invested into funding this harbor.
Mm.
Because the mining are benefited from that. You understand?
Mm.
So it was under your control. We cannot say it was yours. It was under your control.
Yeah.
So they surrendered. There were no proof of saying this money come from South Africa. Because if you come from South Africa, they said, give us the invoice, the money that we're getting from Namibia, from Southwest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it doesn't say if the money is approved by Pretoria, it means it's for Pretoria. No. It's just the budget structure.
Yeah.
So the issue of Lady Hague got it on 1994. So, and we got in full control of harbor.
Mm.
So that is the same. But Rossing, the 90% that was owning by
Rio Tinto.
It's the one now that is end up in the hand of the Chinese.
Of the Chinese, yeah. Mm.
Because this is a fair deal. We are not to say it is.
But during that time, when now the Chinese company actually took over, was there no opportunity for a state to come in?
It was an open deal, business, Mike.
Mm.
Because if you look at it in this way, for example, Erindi, when they come with their business proposal,
yeah,
you know, to sell the Erindi, they give the government opportunity.
Yeah, yeah.
So, because Erindi is a private, the Etosha is a state. You understand?
Mm.
So that's why we got it into owning Etosha. So now, the 1 billion that is the owner for Erindi wants, Namibia saw it, the cabinet saw it that it's not a benefit.
Yeah, yeah.
So we are already having three, four resorts which we are not be able to control. We bring up this expensive one with those expensive wildlife.
Mm.
So they give others opportunity. And that is where now the lady Pereira so come in. So it's not to blame that after 50 years you can come and say, no, why Pereira coming in on our country? It's because of the open business opportunity that was opening there.
Yeah, yeah.
So those are the problems that we have. It's not to say the why we are not having power to control the uranium in Rossing uranium. The opportunity was there for the government to put in it up money. But they were not having that, even the 20% to buying power on that and that area. And this is the example that we are having. I give you an example of North Korea. So North Korea, when this took out North Korea, they paid out those the American miners who were mining there.
Yeah.
To take it to those mines. And when Russia took the North Korea, he got in those mines from Japan. So the American power to climbing that mine, because they were paid already by Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
So that is how we're happening now. And it's also the same with Venezuela. The way now you and Mandume try to come in.
Yeah.
Venezuela style, that was done or doing by Lady Hugo Chavez, may rest in peace. So he came with a different approach. He wanted to climbing that, to negotiating the percentage, but while he is negotiating, stopping the operating of those companies, you understand? And he putting his people to do continuing to do business. The money that he paying the legal fee, he got him from those well diggers.
Yeah.
So now this happening now. So when they lose the case, because it's taking about 6 years, and remember that 50 years, Chavez is making money out of it because it's now for the state. It's a national resources now.
Yeah.
With the whole entire that. So now problem come like this. They defeated in court because the court are controlled by Chavez. After 5-6 years, they chasing them away. So we took in our own resources. So these guys now they went into Americans or they to the international organization that we're losing our university in Venezuela. They are owing guys. But because of this dictatorship that is happening to that thing, we cannot get our money paid. So come back into to Saudi Arabia, Saudi Aramco. Saudi Aramco, they got a deal of Standard Oil.
Yeah.
Standard Oil, they do a well big gas. They are the one that is refining those oil and what. So all those, Saudi Arabia, when they find it out that we will not own this oil, period of decades, 10 years, term of not paying them any loyalty or any whatever, so that they can getting something in hand. You understand? That's where they're starting to cramming the percentage back, power back. So today, Saudi Aramco is one of the biggest. And those Saudi Aramco is in the hand of the loyal family.
Yeah.
Which means most of these people that are rich in Saudi Arabia, they're owning Saudi Aramco.
Yeah.
And that is what you can find it in Qatar, you can find it in Kuwait. If you look at the currency of Kuwait, it's boosted by what? GDP. Yeah? Because of that. Because they, most of the richest Kuwait, they are part of the oil.
Yeah. Now, when we look at what we're getting from especially royalties and tax revenues, would we say really being genuinely to ourselves and said, yeah, we're actually getting a good share of these resources? So would we say really that we are actually getting a good share of the resources? Besides, okay, let's forget about now the value addition and all that. Yeah. So now what we're getting, because that's something else. Now just what we're getting, would we say we're actually getting a good value of the resource?
If you look at this, I'm a data scientist, right?
Yeah.
So for me to getting a solution, I have to go back to the secondary data,
yeah,
which is now the history of the thing. If you make woman or we she
You
understand? So it's now become a discover.
Yeah.
Not you.
Yeah.
I mean, Banoko, it's the same way. So to the tracing, that Monica, you can't add the Monica that you could
mamma. So just a quick one until we finalize that. Okay, just hold on.
Okay. Okay.
Imbaya rire ombwa nai epetwa weather ko ombunikiro ombe ombihukusha njiviro yoye irire ombupu ohakane na wina ikare no mafa kumurungu wa indu. Weriro ngere kusha umune ondengu ukura kwe imba. Una ovi unedia peke ko ondola omirongolitatu na hambu umwe mumwethi. Po pwika ovinki nukukara norupa ondando ya peke yukia nja oshimariva. Olo peresente dano kumyeze vitatu moshimariva. Olo peresente umurongo kumyeze hambu umwe moshimariva. Olo peresente umirongo ivari na dano. Pamiyedi ya murongwa na vivari moshimarifu. Litooro rela ondengu, jima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyanukife. Ashiesho imba ya kupeo shimariva shishihina omarifiro. Imba o maoronga neno uye uha kainina. Itako na wina rishangita jinon.
All right.
Yeah, for you to having that power,
yeah,
you need to have some of your children, you understand, or somebody who is representing you. To to do those digging and what.
Yeah.
Or the cutting, the aspect there, to showing the torch and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So now, that is where the Shea is coming in.
Yeah.
So this Tate who is coming to who have experienced that came alone because you already told him that I have my voice.
Yeah.
So the Shea will come now, 80% of you. You understand?
Mm.
So you get 40 for because of the trees, yours is under your territory.
Yeah.
And 40 for your voice.
Mm. Yeah.
So this starting 20%. But if you allow him to come with his own voice, you lose what?
Yeah.
The 40%.
So, okay. This is what at that point, I think that's a very good point. But why do we then... We kind of seem to blame, kind of like, okay, not really, but we kind of like, you are just taking out our raw material, but it's on us that we cannot actually provide that value. It's not on it's not on the other person. It's not on the investor. It's on us.
No, thank you for the unpacking.
Yeah.
But look, those two, the examples that I give to you, they are not just because of honey and what. There is a lot of things that are coming out of that.
Yeah.
So when you give now this 40%, 20%, 40%, now on your own to looking for a right, what Dumbo Maroto, I don't know, Ngoash, Maroto, it's called Dokoshedu.
Yeah.
So now, if you are now the right negotiator, as you wanting to put it in, you are telling the guy for the 20% that I even have the best on all.
Mm.
I know how to do Marod from these things.
Mm.
Bring the whole 20% for us to do refining. It. You understand?
Yeah.
In your territory now. Now, everything is now on you because your children, they are the ones that are looking for the firewood and all of those things.
Yeah.
So you are starting making money now. So for us now to loosen this power, we don't produce the rich people.
Yeah.
That they can venturing in the refining on value addition that we are talking about.
Yeah.
We don't producing these guys with the trucks, the transporters.
Mm.
The mining, they are coming with their own transport because they are dictating the thing. They already find it where they can.
Yeah.
So that is where now we are losing them all 90 to 100%.
Yeah.
And that is where now the argument are coming because we are not a participator. We just want to eat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Within the trading war, it cannot happen. You understand?
Mm.
If you go to World Trading Organization and you are submitting this that they are treating us bad because it's our own of resources, you might end up losing the case.
Yeah.
You understand? Because their refinery don't have it. How do I leave raw material in your land to do what?
Yeah.
And I'm a miner, a mining guy, I'm a digger guy, so I don't do processing.
Yeah.
So I have to take it there, washing them nice, and then send it to the processor.
Yeah, which is actually in my country, which you don't have it in your country, you know? Yeah.
In your country, you see now.
Mm.
And it's not only this country, because comparing to Rio Tinto didn't stop doing the uranium mining.
Yeah.
He's elsewhere in the world. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Give up Namibia because maybe looking at the movement of the political movement that is may end up. Because remember, he come from colonial era.
Mm.
So there is a problem of a conflict of not people understanding how it happened. Yeah. So he went in somewhere where he knows he's in safe. So when he come now to this guy, it's the same thing, the Chinese.
Yeah. The other thing, quick one also before maybe we end up, it's also the policy that you have created. Let's say, for example, you said, I'm open for business. Okay, I'm open for business. Anyone, you haven't put up restriction in terms of who can do business with you. You allow anybody from anywhere. But then when now the person from outside comes in, the investor comes in and investing in with all their whatever equipment, expert and all that, we turn around and say, now you haven't,
you are eating. You see, now, but when the others lose, like Brazil losing his money and Rooster Silva went to jail because of that.
Yeah,
they never even go or defending Luis on court to say, oh no, it's us. Our geologist, the one that is directing me wrong,
and
that's why they lose the money. They are just saying what it was his own story. So that is where the problem might.
Yeah, and Nashi Masi Moses Sikuja, before ending on Timor Prakuchaman, Oshima Shua Shimono Shirime Psarange. Now, because it's my field.
Let me give you another example. Because we have come to the end.
Yeah.
So, you know, Ukunendo, Dondongi.
Yeah.
Marashawa Kufa Kombele, Dondongi, Yariati, Rogo Patente, to Nomongulato Monica, you go to it. So, what I know, I don't.
Yeah.
No, it's fine, man. Let's continue. No, it's fine.
No, thanks, man.
Okay, man.
All right. Oh, yeah. That's a good one, you know. 08333-66091. You're most welcome to come through and, you know, engage us. Engage Namibia. All right.
Omutiha wutekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikawa shafasa na nana longe shifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro ni randito mwa yoe yonge shifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwe po yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma onorahi tatu imwe. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oliari. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Oh, yeah, that's right. This is Eagle FM, and welcome to your number one talk radio station. Yeah, so, yeah, let's unpack the Honorable Selma Ashipala's Musavi visit to China this past week. Our Minister of International Relations and Trade, you know, was in China. She was in China, not for a holiday though, you know, okay, just for you to know. She was in Beijing and then in Shenzhen, you know, in Shenzhen. One of the China's technological capital, Shenzhen, you know, it's Shenzhen. So it's very difficult pronouncing those names. So, all right, it's one of the China's technology capital, the place where factories make everything from smartphones, you know, to electric vehicles. You know, she was there with one clear mission, you know, pitching Namibia as the next big investment destination. And what came out, of this trip that is that China has officially,
you know, pledge to help Namibia stop just digging up our minerals and shipping them away raw. Okay, that's what came out. Instead, now Beijing say it will back us up to process this mineral right here at home. Minerals like lithium, cobalt, copper, graphite, whatever, rare earth. And mostly what we have been talking to them, most importantly, the uranium. Because that's what they are mostly after, you know, the Chinese. Now, as we were discussing earlier, from our first conversation now, Namibia is the third largest uranium producer in the world, you know, number three on the planet Earth. And two of our biggest uranium mines, you know, HACCP and Rossing, you know, are already Chinese owned or Chinese controlled. You know, HACCP alone is designed to pump out 6,000 tons of uranium a year. You know, so, but until now, what we have been exporting so far is the yellow cake. Okay. A raw powdered form of uranium oxide, you know, which is crude. It's a crude, unfinished and cheap. Eh? And it's actually cheap compared to a finished or refined product. So that's what we have been now. What is the dream now? The dream is to move up. What happened to me?
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na na longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakudo ni randito ma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konara heta tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. You know, what we have been exporting, the yellow cake, and the dream now is actually to move up the ladder and eventually produce nuclear fuel rods. So the finished product that powers nuclear reactors around the world. Okay, that's where we want to move up. So the question I want to put on the table this time is this, you know. Now, is this finally, you know, Namibia's moment? Or are we just swapping one master for another? You know? Let's look at that. Let's get into this a little bit. You know, and as I said last, you know, As I said last week, our Foreign Minister Selma Ashipala Mosavi returned from a week-long trip to China, and she was there with one clear mission. The mission is to sell a new kind of partnership, okay? Not just let us export our raw minerals to you. No. Okay? Now the new kind of partnership is the pitch this time was different. Okay, it was different. It was, you know, come build factories in Namibia, process our minerals here, you know, turn our uranium, our lithium, our cobalt into something more valuable. All right, so right here at home. Now, like what we were talking about, like we were talking about now, is that, you know, well, now first of all, it get interesting because China say yes, okay, China say yeah, okay, we're gonna do that. Okay, and there was a joint communique issued after talks with Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi. So Beijing pledged to to help Namibia move beyond raw material export into domestic processing. But the question is, how would that actually help China? How would that actually help China by processing, you know, material in Namibia? Would that actually be in the best interest of China? Well, that's something that we can look at now. So what we're asking is that we want to turning now this yellow cake, that crude powder form of uranium oxide we have been shipping out for many years, into something more refined. That's what we want to do, possibly even a nuclear fuel rod. All right? So now, okay, let me take you back a little bit, okay? Something that we also discussed earlier. For many years, and I mean many years, okay, Namibia has done what almost African countries have done. You know, we dig up, we ship it out, and someone else possess it, you know, and someone else now belong to that person, now to that, you know, and they process it. Someone else manufacture it. Someone else sell the finished product back to us. And this time it could be 10 times the price. So, now, I mean, if we can give an example, you know, think about it like this. You know, it's like a farmer who grows the best mahangu in the region, all right? But then buys mahangu meal from the shop at the premium because they don't have a meal to actually make mahangu meal. So that's had been our story with minerals. That has been our story with minerals. A very good morning. Welcome to Unpack in the Day.
Yeah, yeah. Quick one.
Yeah.
Okay, now, good one now.
Mm.
Because Chinese agreed. Eh?
Yeah.
Now we are focusing on the investment of China.
Yeah.
How them to get their money back. You understand?
Mm.
So, the task for Namibians now here is they must look for somebody,
yeah,
who can buy this yellow cake,
yeah,
from roasting to the refinery.
Yeah, yeah.
You understand?
Mm.
So they cannot set up a refinery with the Chinese. No.
So you have to look a local investor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
So that they can compete with the Chinese.
Yeah.
You understand?
Mm. Yeah.
Because what is blocking Chinese to the Americans to causing this war of Iran and Venezuela,
mm,
is because Chinese are buying this sanctioned oil,
yeah,
and they sell it to the market, to the red market.
Yeah, yeah.
So now it's come like a Ramatex thing now. I will follow.
Yeah, I do. Mm.
Because the Malaysian, they were doing things in Namibia,
yeah,
convincing the Namibians that this thing you are doing is not worth much,
yeah,
because it's doing by unskilled workers.
Mm.
You understand?
Mm.
So, but the market, if you look at the market, it's a lucrative market, United States.
Exactly, yeah.
So this is now the opportunity for Namibia to become a flag in the international market.
Yeah.
You are producing, you are refining it for your own market.
Yeah,
to,
yeah,
give China money back.
Mm,
so
yeah.
I think that one, yeah, do it yourself now on that. Thank
all right.
You.
Yeah.
All right.
Great.
Yeah. Definitely. So, as we say, we are the world's third largest uranium producer, third in the world, in the whole world. So, the Hansa mine alone, you know, majority owned by Chinese General Nuclear Power Group, has an annual, design capacity of 600 or 6,000 tons. So, now, then there is Rossing. Also, Rossing is also controlled by China. By China National Uranium Corporation, which just secured, actually, it just secured a life of mine extension all the way to 2036. You know, 2036. Good morning. Good morning.
Mike.
Yeah, bro.
Sorry also for me to come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, the brother who just left, it makes sense. Because remember one thing that we have, Namibia, what? what they call it, competition of commission or something.
Yeah, commission of competition. Yeah.
Yeah, something.
Nah, but I'll fang
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing is that when you look at the losing and the Nawachab.
Yeah.
They're all controlled by Chinese.
Yeah, they're all controlled by them.
Mm. Yeah, which are dealing with the same conduct.
Yeah.
At the fair competition now, we have the commission.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. And it is a problem, I think, we have with Namibian law.
Mm.
Sometimes we say this, and like next time, we are doing something different.
Mm.
Yeah, we're not talking. It's where we are saying, no, you Chinese, we allow you to do this. I think this time, maybe we invite the Germans or Russian or Americans.
Yeah, have a competition.
Exactly, because we cannot be here. We cannot just concentrate on what is there for us and on China.
Mm.
Yeah, there's no competition at all.
Yeah. All right.
And the one thing also, when I'm looking at us, going back to China for them to build up a refinery again. This is another thing again. We are how can I put it? It's like we are trapping ourselves.
Hmm.
Serious. Refinery, either we look at ourselves.
Yeah.
Or we go, and sometimes we don't need to look for individually. We need JPFR, to know social security, to know, imagine I did it. I know when they are going to invest in something productive.
The one who speaks like now, the minister is talking about, you know, we need to the investors to invest, but investors, they don't see value in it. You know,
I don't know.
You see, sometimes they have money. Sometimes there's money, but that's just, they don't see value in it. Yeah, you understand?
Sometimes I think the minister also,
so,
he can bring all those stakeholders that you are talking about.
And
they combine their money all together, and they put up something.
And that's why they have sometime on the government side, they do a really good job where they bring, you know, the government people and the private people in one room. They even form a forum and all that. And you're now expecting something to emanate from those kind of forum. But sometimes nothing. You hear nothing. Years goes by. There was a forum was created, and you don't see. You don't hear anything anymore. You understand?
That is the problem I think we have in Namibia. We do something, then later there's no follow up.
Yeah. All right.
Or there's no enforcement even. Okay. Yeah. Let me end up this.
Yeah. All right, great man. Yeah. Mm.
Okay.
Yeah. So those mines are really massive operations, but and here's the painful truth that the callers are speaking about, that they are talking about. While the mineral leaves our soil, the real value, the processing, the refining, the manufacturing, it happens elsewhere. It happens somewhere else, not here. And the job that comes now with that processing happens somewhere else. You see? And then no wonder why we say no job, no what? Because the value addition, and this is something that we know. This is something of our leader talk about. But how do we do it? Of something that you don't own. You know? It's a problem. You can talk about it and, you know, seem to... you're kind of rallying us up to kind of like, but what you're saying is that it's not something that we own. As we have, I'm giving you an example of who owned those mines and how many percentage. Yeah, we're talking about that the job processing and the processing is job that come from the processing is happening somewhere else. It's happening somewhere else. The technology transfer, it's happening somewhere else. So, and the minister, Musavi called it, she called it a classic asymmetry, yeah, a classic asymmetry, you know, which actually we send the raw material, we received the finished good, you know? So that's not partnership. That's actually not partnership. That's supply chain where, that's a supply chain where we sit at the bottom. You know, we sit at the bottom. So now from the discussion that we see something is shifting, and this is where now the story gets really important for you, for us to understand. So because in 2023, Namibia followed Zimbabwe lead. Sometime or maybe we shouldn't have. We followed Zimbabwe lead, banned the export of unprocessed lithium and other critical minerals. Now that was we most of us say this as a bold move, you know, because we say that sent a clear message. It sent a clear signal that if you want our minerals, you know, you need to add value here. You need to process them here. All right. So in the article, there was this geoeconomic analyst tracking sub-Saharan Africa. Made a very sharp observation this week. He compared to superpowers. So now, one side, the United States behaving, there are two approaches compared to now with these superpowers. The United States behaving, in his word, like an old school hegemon. Now, muscling in two places like Venezuela and eyeing Cuba, seizing resources the hard way. You understand? And then on the other side, you have China playing what he called a smart 21st century game. You know, instead of grappling and running, China is saying, okay, let's build a factory together. Okay, let's process the mineral in your country. Let's build together. Let's become shareholders in the beneficiary, in a beneficiation business. You know, so two different approach. You know, it's a model. Chinese is a model that create a mutual dependency, a mutual ended mutual dependency when.
Step right up to ShopRite's Big Low Price Carnival, where the deals are big and the savings are even bigger. Get show-stopping deals, like 4kg Real Good Frozen Mixed Chicken Portions for only $199.99. That's a big deal! And 5kg Marathon Fine White Sugar for a low $92.99. Valid until 10 May 2026. Don't miss out on these unbelievable savings and more at the Big Low Price Carnival, only at ShopRite. Plus, you could stand to win one of 250 trolley dashes. Simply buy any three or more participating products and stand to win with ShopRite's Big Low Price Carnival. Competition ends 7 June. T's and C's apply.
No other countries can match at all. They need uranium. A lot of it. They need a lot of it. Reliable supply. Well, and Namibia? Namibia is one of the best sources in the world. We are one of the best sources in the world. So if they, now the thing is that, as I said, this is actually a business, it's a good business strategy. It's not that China is being generous. So if they help us process it here, they lock in the supply chain. They secure their own energy future and they keep the Western competitors out of the picture. So, yes, it's a win-win, but let's not pretend it's a charity, you know? Eh? So, it's not a charity. So, I think it's a strategy, smart strategy, and Namibia must be equally smart. We should be equally smart at the negotiating table. We should be equally smart at the negotiating table. All right. We have actually, there were a few things that I wanted touching on, you know, because, especially how does all this mean, for us as a Namibian. Yeah, but anyway, tomorrow is another day. I used to have a Nigerian teacher who every time he comes to the end of the class, he would say, tomorrow is another day. Okay, tomorrow is another day. And then we used to have another one. We have two. That was a physics teacher. And every time he say, order, order, he liked to say, order, order. And the whole class just burst in tears, you know. Every time he say, order, order. And then at one point, he realized that every time he say, order, the whole class actually just start laughing. And then even the moment he was asking, you know, every time I say order, every time I say order, you know, you guys started laughing. Yeah. And every time he motioned that word, we just go laughing. So yeah, just remember some of my Nigerian teachers. All right. So, well, tomorrow is another day. It's actually a Friday. Meet here again. Let's meet here again tomorrow, from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. And at this time, we're gonna hand over the mic to Kamatiko Kapofi or Barangaja or Teano Prokhorama. He's coming with her program, Kuthamosha. Make sure that you stay tuned, for that show. But for me, let's do this tomorrow again. It's a goodbye for now.